Well, we're going to keep going in 1 John a little bit. So let's go to the book of 1 John, chapter 1 and verse 1. It's been a real, I want to say, humbling experience to you know, when God begins to teach you things and you change and you learn from it, and you know you're not the man or the person who comes up with that. And he won't do it just for preachers. He'll do it for your marriage. He'll do it for your kids. He'll teach you things that doesn't come from your own wisdom, but it comes from the wisdom of God. So we'll start in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So the Apostle John is saying the word of life, Jesus, we handled him, we touched him, we walked with him, we saw the word of life, the true life of God inside of Jesus, and we handled it. And it came from the Father, but then it says, and was manifested to us. That same life that they handled, the same life of Christ, the same nature that they walked with and handled and saw the fruit of it and the power of it, was manifested to us. Now, today is Resurrection Sunday. You know, it's not really only to celebrate Jesus, his resurrection. This is really more of a party for you, that you and I should be celebrating our resurrection. That because Jesus was resurrected from the dead, I also was resurrected from the dead. Amen? That was good. Just try that again. This is your Resurrection Sunday too. Because you were brought from death to life. When Jesus was resurrected, you now are resurrected. See? Resurrected out of dead, out of a death person. You were dead. You were dead inside. You had death speaking to you from your death nature. You were separated from God. You were alone. But then you were resurrected into his family, brought to life. Verse 2, this life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Say this with me, I have eternal life. I have the nature of God inside of me. I am his child. He is my Father. And verse 3, and that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see here that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to see how it doesn't say with the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. There's a difference from before you're born again and after you're born again. Before you're born again, the only way to the Father is through Jesus. There's no access to the Father except through the Son. But once you are resurrected from the dead with that new nature inside of you, you're birthed. You're born the moment you accept Jesus into your heart. That's the moment you came to life. God rescued me out of Alan Taylor. He didn't fix Alan Taylor. He didn't rescue Alan Taylor. He rescued me out of Alan Taylor. That's why when I get to heaven, my Father's going to give me a new name, because He's my Father. The name my earthly parents gave me will belong to the body of the guy that turns into dust. There's an intimacy that He wants between you and Him that's safe, that's available, that's free, that's for every child of God. The enemy has struck at the very beginning to remove that intimacy from the body of Christ. Replace it with religion. Religion comes in all shapes and sizes, all forms, all places. See, when you're not sure about something, you usually try to go through someone you're safe with. You know, you want to meet someone or do business with someone, but you don't know them, so you call a friend who knows them. Because you're safe with the friend. Does that make sense? Yes. You know? Some of you girls try that. You know, I like that boy. You just call the friend, say, tell him to do this. Some religions do that too. You don't pray to God. You pray to someone else to pray to God. You know, for some of us in our world, it's different things. We give an offering of how much we confessed, or how much we did, or how much we prayed. We go to our works to go to God, because we don't feel safe just going to God. And there is a understanding that I had for years about my relationship with our Heavenly Father, that it was all about Jesus and not about me. So I was irrelevant. It was only Jesus that He was looking at. He wouldn't look at me. I was just the empty shell that Jesus was in. My covenant allowed Him to look at Jesus and not at me. When I prayed for people to be healed, I would say, in Jesus' name. But for me, that meant, hey, Jesus, here's a sick person. Will you tell God to heal them? Some of the times when we look at the blood of Christ, we look at that the same way. That I remember they said, you have to plead the blood over everything. You know, the blood of Jesus was like a, you know, when you get in the car, you just plead the blood around you. And that'll protect you from the devil. And then you get on an airplane, you plead the blood around you. You know, like the blood of Jesus was activated by your words. You know, and if someone had a devil, you sang songs about the blood. Because devils don't like that. These are all things that we did. You know, but the blood of Jesus is the price that was paid to give me a father. And everything that came with that is now mine because of the blood of Jesus. So we can find ourselves going to other places to try to get to God rather than just going to Him as our Father. And the reason for that is because we have an intimidation that He won't receive us. He won't hear us. You know, there's a whole, help me, Jesus. I spent years chasing things to get God to do stuff for me rather than going to Him and believing to receive it. Let's jump over to chapter 4 again. in verse 12. See, I think this morning he wants us to know, that he wants you to know, that you're not alone. You're not alone in this life. You're not alone in your struggles. You're not alone in following him. And when you and I have a fear of rejection, we stand back. And the first fruit of that fear is you feel you have to figure it out yourself. And all religion is built at that place where you can serve God and be in charge of your life the same way, same time. That's where all religion is started. I'll serve God, but I'm in charge of my life. There's an intimacy with God that you'll never have until you let go of the reins of your life and walk with him and trust him and let him lead you. And anything you can come up with to reason of why you need to do this, it's religion being built inside of you. It says, I want to live my life and serve God. I don't want to let go of that. I don't want to let go of this. I don't want to kill this. I want this dream. I want this thing. I want that thing. I want, this is what I'm supposed to have. Bless God. I deserve this. I'm a child of God. This belongs to me. All these things that we say, but really it comes down to he wants to be so close to you and you so close to him that you walk where he walks. You say what he says. That you submit your life to him in that place of complete surrender to him. Most believers won't let him show how much. You know, when we had a guy, a young man, he was a romantic and artsy. Artsy means he liked to do artsy things. Well, when you are part of a Bible college, you have a whole crop of new girls come in every year for students. And he had been there enough years that the last few years of girls didn't want anything to do with him. So every new year, he would be trying to be the man to the new ones that didn't know him. And he wrote them poetry, would sing songs. He even made his own chocolates from scratch and little heart chocolates. Artsy. And he was starving to get a girl to like him. And I mean, the girls are getting really creeped out by him. Like, he's like, they come up to me like, Pastor Allen, this guy gave me a poem and a prophecy wrapped up in a chocolate. And I finally grabbed him. I said, listen, let me tell you something about girls. I don't know much about them, but I'll tell you what I do know. You save the romantic stuff until after they like you. After they like you, they'll love the poems and the chocolates and the songs and the prophecies and they'll think it's great. But before they like you, they're creeping them out. You need to stop it. And this is how it is with God, that he wants to woo you. He wants to prove to you he loves you. He wants to prove to you you can't make him run away. He wants to, you know what woo means? Woo. That's an old English word for wooing. That's when a boy comes to a girl and says, I'm going to marry you. And the girl says, no, you're not. And he sends her flowers, and she takes the flowers and puts them in the trash can. And he sends them cards, and she rips them up and throws them away. And then she sends him a text, poetry text, and he takes it and she forwards it to all her friends and they make fun of him. They laugh at him. And every time he sees her, he just won't give up. That's how they did it in the old days. You know, nowadays, they probably get a restraining order on you or something. But in the old days, you know, it was a little bit different. You know, you were allowed to pursue a little more, you know. And she keeps resisting him. I don't like you. You're not good looking enough. You're not this enough. Just leave me alone. And he keeps being persistent for week after week. And then one week, the girl walks into church and he's talking to another girl. And something comes up. It's like, well, why do I care? You're being wooed. See. He's winning your heart. And before we can ever receive the blessings of God, the prosperity of God, the freedom of your calling, the goodness of God, before we can ever receive that, we have to first come to this place where we give him that part of our life, that part of our heart, that okay, I like you. Because telling someone you like them makes you vulnerable to them. That's different than walking alongside. See? And so your Heavenly Father wants you to allow him to win you over with his love. Every day. Every month. Year after year. Verse 12 of chapter 4, 1 John. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. But this we know, that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Now, how many here have confessed that Jesus is the Son of God? God abides in you, but listen, and you in him. We miss that part sometimes. See, it's not complete if you just serve him. Life's not complete if you just walk with him. Life's not complete if you just do things for him and are a blessing to his kingdom. Life's not complete until you know him. See, you're in him, he's in you. You are now connected. He's your father, your family. And there's a place of intimacy and when I say intimacy, I'm not necessarily talking about times of great worship and crying and I love you times. Those may be part of it. I'm talking about a safe walk with him every day, that you're connected to him. He's part of you. You're part of him. It's not a work. It's a rest. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. On your worst, most rottenest day, before you ever were a child of God, He loved you. He loved you enough to send His Son to make a way for you to be His child. Let's just jump over here to, I know I'm jumping a bit, but just, you have to put up with me today. 1 John chapter 5. We'll start in verse 9. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of the Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of the Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and the life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the same or in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Your emotions can lie to you. They can tell you that He doesn't hear you, that you're not good enough. I remember that one day I got sick. I was really concerned, and I started confessing the word, and I went into my attack mode. In Jesus' name, I don't accept this sickness. Get out of my body. I have authority over you. Come out of me in Jesus' name. And I said, Father, I thank you. You're my healer. I call you my healer. I'm healed in Jesus' name, and I receive your healing. I did everything perfect until I said, how can I be sick? This isn't fair. I've given my life for you. I've left my country for you. I serve you faithfully. And I heard this voice in my heart say, if you want to stand in your own righteousness, go right ahead. So I tiptoed across the room, leaving the dumb Alan behind. And I said, Father, I thank you that you're my healer. Not because of what I've done, but what Jesus has done. I want us to look over in John, the book of John, Big John, chapter 16. We'll start in verse 18, just for time's sake. They said, therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. This is the disciples. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourself about what I said a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me? Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. Now, he's talking to his disciples. They're not born again yet. They're Old Testament saints that followed him and watched him. John is in the midst of these men. When Jesus says, your sorrow will turn to joy, he's talking about when Jesus left and when they get born again. Now watch. This puzzled me for a long time, this next verse. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow, because her hour has come. But as soon as she's given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into this world. Therefore, you now have sorrow. But I'll see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. A woman, when she is in labor, is in sorrow for a little while until she gives birth. Can the women say amen to that? See, before you're born again, how do I say this? I'll try not to go too deep into what I'm... Sometimes I hear things and I don't get in trouble, so... Trying to explain it, not what I hear, but just trying to explain it. Before you're born again, the person you are, that person you are before you're born again, is not who saved. You're saved. It's like a woman. It's like you walk around pregnant and you have a baby and you have to give birth to that new creature. That's who you are. He's telling the disciples, you're not saved. I can't rescue John. But just like a woman is in labor, you're sorrowful. Soon you're going to give birth, and this new nature is going to come into this new creature that's going to be born of God. It comes out of you. It's not you, but it comes out of you. I'll stop right there. That new creature that comes in this world that never existed before, it's coming out of you because you don't die. But Alan dies, but you don't. How does that happen? Therefore, now you have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. In the day that you're born again, in that day that you become part of his family, that moment that you're born again, Jesus says, in that day, you will ask me nothing. Because until now, everything they received came when they said, in the name of Jesus, they were saying, I'm praying for this sick guy, but I have no authority because I'm not born again. But there's someone over here, Jesus. So in Jesus' name, because Jesus was walking on the earth, in Jesus' name and the authority that he has to the Father, be healed. And he says, in the day you're born again, in that moment you're born again, you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. In my name simply means, when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're not saying, Jesus, tell the Father, because I'm not worthy enough. I need a middleman. We're saying, in the name of Jesus that gave me this Spirit, I have a Father now that I can go to who loves me, who cares about me, who's willing to walk with me and talk with me and walk and lead me and guide me. He's not afraid of me. I'm safe with him. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full. Talking about being born again. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I'll tell you plainly about who? The Father. Jesus had a Father, and he made a way for his Father to become your Father. It gets better. Look. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see now, you're speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. They're saying, okay, we got it. We're getting it. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own. Now listen, please listen to this. Each to his own. It will leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. You're not alone. The world will teach you how to figure life out, to make decisions on what's best, on survival. It's not necessarily selfishness, it's self-preservation we make many choices on. And our plan B, or plan C, or plan D. I had all kinds of plans. My soul needed all kinds of plans. A natural part of my soul when I was following God, and then he began to clip them off until I only had one plan. That was his plan. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Father, he's yours. It's Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. This is a celebration, you know, when you celebrate your parents' birthday or you go to a reunion. You know, I have a few reunions I get invited to because I had a few dads and a few moms, or a few, I got grandparents all over the place, you know. And there's like all these people. Do you ever go to a family reunion and you're like, man, where did all these people come from? And you're celebrating one couple usually, a great-grandpa or grandma and a granddad. And out of those two people, you look at all the offspring. You're eating your potato salad and your bad hamburgers and hot dogs, and you're very uncomfortable because you don't know half the people there. And there's all these people, but you're really celebrating. See, here's the thing. You're not just celebrating their connection, their wedding. But you're celebrating the fact that they got together, they produced you. You were produced because of them. They got together. And that's what we're supposed to be celebrating today. Not just the fact that Jesus was resurrected. He was resurrected and became the firstborn. This is our celebration too today. That because he was resurrected, I am now resurrected. He made a way for his Father to become my Father. It says perfect love casts out all fear. That's where fearlessness comes from. When you know you're not alone. In your life right now, you'll have many things going on. Many questions. I call it navigating. What do I do? Because when you're not in charge, you can't make decisions. It's not that you're out of control. It's just that he's in control, not you. So it's not our job to make decisions. It's our job to listen and obey. And that's where fearlessness comes from. I'm going to make it because I'm following him. I'm going to survive. I'm going to find the answers because my Father will not let go of me. Why don't you stand with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's Easter, Resurrection Day. What a great opportunity to be born into His family. What a great opportunity to be resurrected in new life today. So if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, and you're not part of His family, you have not been resurrected into the family of God, then this morning's for you. It's not by accident you're here. God set you up by bringing you here today. So I'm going to have Laura just play a little bit. And all across this room, all of you who are not born again this morning and are ready to accept Jesus into your heart and be born into His family, as Laura begins to play, I want you just to come right now and meet me here at the altar. All across this room. All of this room, just step out and come right now and join me right here. You've not accepted Jesus into your heart. This is your morning to become part of the family of God. This is your moment right now. Your whole life is about to change. So please, come right now. Come and join me.